Hi everybody, welcome to this channel. I am Cookie. Today is not a regular upload because usually I upload on Sunday every single week. But there is a topic that I actually would love to share with y'all, and that is about damsel in distress. Damsel in distress is actually an archetype that describes people. Individuals who kind of seem to never being able to get out of situations. Like they're never being able to help themselves. Like they're helpless all the time, and they need people to save them, to rescue them, so to fulfill their role, being damsel in distress. Okay, so that is actually if you see in. Literature, this would be how certain characters are formed, being put into such archetypes to play a role in order to fulfill their destiny, in a sense, right? And so damsel in distress actually comes from certain mythology. If I don't remember it wrong, damsel is actually a girl's name. So damsel is a woman in a particular literature piece. All right, so search it up and let me know in the comment section below if you do actually search it up, because I don't remember it. But it is an actual piece of literature. So damsel in distress, why do I want to talk about this? Because there are many white knights, the knights in shining armor, to whom that I've come across with and I have observed. And I just would love to film this video for those white knights, those nice guys, the providers, the protectors, those men who have this such a protective instinct in them. And they love to help other people. They love to give to people. They are the great givers. Okay? Now, these white knights, and maybe if you're listening to it, you might be one as well. I wouldn't say it's for all cases, but mostly you guys have a soft spot for women who seem to be helpless, who seem to be very soft, and not soft in a way that is just being kind and reasonable. Okay, not this kind of soft. I'm not talking about this kind of soft that has integrity in it. Okay, now there's a fine line between that. And this video is actually more dedicated for the men. For men. I'm filming this video for men. I want to share with you, now as a woman, right? How certain women can weaponize against men using their such soft spots in the man's natural instinct when it comes to saving women or protecting, the protective instinct in men, okay? And certain women could, I'm not saying that they intentionally do this, but some do actually intentionally utilize such a technique, such a putting oneself in such a situation, being in such an archetype, as in damsel in distress, to attract in men, to hook men up and to play with them, I would even say, to make use of men, to take advantage of men. It would be only later these men would realize that, wait, I'm actually being used. I'm actually being played, emotionally manipulated. And I'm being guilt-tripped. Okay, so this video is actually for pointing out, I just want to bring bring this to light. Okay, I just want to bring this to light. Yes, because there are women doing this. Okay, there are actually women doing this, and I would love to give you certain signs or symptoms to just first diagnose that if you're actually a white knight. Okay, if you are white knight, if you have this kind of white knight syndrome or like that knight in shining armor, okay? Now this is a good quality of you. If you do love helping people, if you do love to, you know, go the extra mile for those in need of help, okay? This is a very good virtue. But mind you, some people would take advantage of this quality of you. Especially men, okay? If you do have a lot of, if you do have resources, if you do have money, be careful with that. Because some women, if they don't utilize their magnetic energy in a good way, in a positive way, they are basically the femme fatale. Femme fatale. Okay, so what would usually happen is that your finance would be drained, your entire emotional state would be quite disrupted, your emotional state would be linked to how she is, your life would be surrounded by her situation that she threw herself in, sometimes actually unintentionally, but most of the time intentionally, because she knows that once she is in such a situation, you would run to her. Okay? Now, I'm already throwing out signs. If you are in any situations like this, be aware. You would be the first person, she would say, you would be the first person that would come to save her, come to help her, and she would be showing a lot of gratitude to you. But this is not just one time thing, it has been many times. And she has always been like this, and she's not actually improving. Even if she's improving, it's very slow. Because the thing is, she has no intention of actually standing on her own feet. She is living off you. She's living off your kindness. She's living off your you feeding her. And the fact is, why would you feed her? Why would you be attracted to her? Yes, a woman who seems to be so weak and she is so helpless and she needs help. But have you thought about it? Why would you be attracted to such women who seem to be absolutely need so much help that you are the only person that could help her, right? It could actually be something related to your own family background, your childhood, where you have your mother figure in your own life, or feminine figures in your life that they it how I personally see it is that it comes from two extremes. It's either you have a very controlling mother or you have a very weak mother figure. So it is two extremes, and both ways would actually cause men to attract to damsel in distress, in a sense. In a sense, because for those who have mother figures in their life, that are very weak, okay, the one that who victimize themselves, the ones who victimize themselves, that's what damsel in distress does. The ones who victimize themselves would say the world is unfair to them, how people treat them badly, and they are just innocent all the time. They have nothing, they didn't cause harm to anyone, they didn't want to, you know, whatever it is. I'm not saying that they are actually unkind people, like damsel in distress. No, it's just that the behavior speaks louder than their actions, their words. Behavior is slightly different than actions. Because how I see it is behavior is sort of like emotion plus action together. Because when you have certain behavior, it's because you're being prompted by certain emotions, and thus you would act out in a certain way. So it's emotion plus actions would become behavior. Okay, now that's why I said behaviors speak louder than their words and actions, because it's very subtle. You know what I'm trying to say? It's very subtle. You can't really trust their words. It's hidden. It's very hidden. It's hidden behind their actions and their words, because it's mind games. It's how women play mind games with you, men, and you don't know. Men usually think mind games is just strategic, right? Logic. You don't understand how women play their games, and now I'm revealing to you, because I don't give a damn. Because literally, I do not play such mind games. Like, not the strategic ones, nor the emotional ones. That is why I'm speaking here. And I just want to let you know that, men, if you're listening, and thank you so much for listening up to here. So, if you know any woman makes you a miserable person, like whenever you're around such a woman, she might give you something sweet at one moment, but like, well, once they flip, you're just like, I just want to get out of here. Emotionally speaking, they are really draining, okay? That's the emotional mind game. And for men, they play the strategic mind game, okay? Now, what women play when it comes to emotional mind game is that it's very subtle. That's why I said it's the behavior. What they do is they play your heartstrings. They play with your heartstrings, okay? Your heartstrings. They play victim. They play that they are weak. They play that. There are two types of women when it comes to emotional mind games. The first one would guilt trip you. The first type, guilt trip. The second type would victimize themselves to make you feel guilty. Same thing is also guilt tripping. It is guilt tripping. The core is about guilt tripping, but the way of expression would be different. The first type would be being aggressive or passive aggressive. Okay, so aggression, violence, in a feminine way. That's the first type. How? Example. They would blame you for what you haven't been able to done to fulfill for them. Okay? They would blame you that you are unable, that you are incapable. Okay? They make you feel small. That's the first type. Emotional mind game. Okay? Second type. They victimize themselves. That is the damsel in distress. How? They make themselves feel so weak. They make themselves feel like they need your help and they need your rescue. And so you would go for that, right? But either way, I'm telling you, type 1, type 2, what they want is they want to control you. They want to control you emotionally, okay? So that is what it is. Because you see, the world is duality. Okay, duality. That's why there are two types. It's either go violence or go self-victimization. But either way, they just want control. Why? Because they are both insecure. Both types are insecure, and insecure women, they are not able to stand on their own feet. Emotionally speaking, no, that's why they want to project. That's why they project onto men, and they want to blame men, and they want to control men emotionally. And that's why men would be very scared of women who are emotionally unstable, but they are at the same time very attracted to them. But they would be usually more attracted to the damsel in distress, because the damsel in distress seems soft. But mind you, the softer one doesn't mean that they're not toxic. They are equally toxic as the one who express violently, be it is aggression or passive aggression. Okay, so two types, same thing. They just want control over you emotionally. They want control over your emotion mind. I'm not saying that they intentionally do this. It is something that they don't even understand that they're doing, but they are already playing the program that they have picked up from since childhood. They might see their moms doing it. They might see their sisters doing it. They might see the feminine energies in their household doing it. And they're just playing the patterns. Okay? So now, for the white knight, why would you be attracted to women like this? Because your mothers could be this way. Either you're, that's why I said it's two extremes, right? Your mothers, it could either be the type one or type two. It does not matter. But if you do have a type three kind of mother, this woman would be secure. The type of woman that is securely attached, they do not go either to type one or type two, like not violence nor self-victimization. They simply be themselves. Okay? They simply stand their own ground. They are self-sufficient emotionally. Doesn't have to be financially speaking, but they can also make their own money if they want to, but they can just choose not to because their husbands can do so for them. Okay? But it doesn't mean that they feel small. They would not feel insecure even if their husbands leave them. They will simply understand, okay, this is a situation, and so now I'm just gonna deal with it, and I'm gonna make my life even better. Okay? Now, this is what self-safety, like self-security looks like. They wouldn't blame. Type three kind of women, they do not blame. First, right? First type, they blame. Type three women would not even self-blame, would not even self-victimize. So that's type two, right? So what type three women would do is they would understand the situation as it is and simply do the right thing for making their lives better and not, staying in any situations that is not even for their well-being. All right, that is operating from self-love and self-respect. Because you see, if the type one women and the type two women, none of them actually respect themselves. One would have to blame other people so to avoid seeing their own insecurity. Type two, they have to self-victimize so to have someone to save them. That means they don't even acknowledge their own dignity, that they can actually save themselves and fix their own problems. You see, there's no self-respect whatsoever in either type one or type two. And that is duality. And the third type is the non-dual one, the centered one. So if you ever meet any woman in your life that demonstrates signs or symptoms of type one or type two, be aware. I'm not saying that they are bad people. I'm not saying that these women are bad people. I'm just saying that be aware because you could be your white knight, your knight in shining armor, kind of a syndrome or like a your programming would be activated once you meet women like this, because you have been exposed to women like this since childhood. And you feel that need, that instinct to protect them because of programming, because of what you possibly saw, how other men treated your mother or your sisters or the women in your community, okay, whatever it is. And that's what men should do. That's what you think. That's what you learned. But I hope what I expressed to you here brings certain insights to your understanding of what you need to protect is someone who knows their own worth, not someone who wants to play with another person's worth to control, through control and manipulation. Okay? And I'm not, at the same time, I wanted to clarify that. I'm not demonizing women who do this. I also want to speak for them. That is, many of them are very broken. They are very broken, and usually how damsel in distress are formed, such an archetype, how is it formed, is usually because they, again, duality. Cause potent the highest potential causes, two, there are two. First, they either have a very controlling father figure or household, very controlling. Okay, father figure. Or they don't have a father figure in their lives at all. Like a very absent father figure. Okay, why? It means either when it comes to the extreme, when they have a very strong controlling father figure in their life since childhood, or even just a household, okay? Household, because father figures can be actually, it basically means structure. Structure, okay? So if they have a very controlled environment, very controlling environment, whereas since childhood, they would then become what? Like literally disabled. Disabled because they can't do this, they can't do that, they can't do this, they can't do that. And maybe they would also experience a lot of denial. So it means that you can't do this, you can't do this, you are not this, you are not that. No, I don't agree with you. So they don't have this self-worth. They don't have this self-worth. And when they don't have this self-worth, it means that they don't actually know who they are. All right, so they are already being misaligned to their authentic self. Now, when it comes to someone who doesn't have a strong father figure or they don't even have much structures in their life since childhood, so the father figure could be very absent. Absent. It could even be someone who, it could be they're orphans, okay, they're orphans or whatever it is. What usually could happen is because of such a situation, they don't have the necessary structure to help them to build, to understand, to stand on their own feet, to even stand up. Okay, like they don't have these structures to help them, to guide them to grow into which direction. Does it make sense? They don't have this guidance, guiding forces to help them to grow into where should I grow. So, what does it mean? It means they are very scattered. The first type from the very controlling household, they would not be scattered in that sense, but they would be scattered in their own identity. Okay, because they're being very controlled and suppressed. They would usually become, in a sense, rebellious, like you know who? Juliet, Romeo and Juliet, like Juliet. She would become so rebellious, you know, in a sense, but rebellious in love. Like she wants that person. She wants Romeo. She's in a very controlling household, in a sense, you know, she's rich. She's born in a rich family and she there are so many rules, you know. And she her only thing literally I think is just to be pretty. Just to be pretty, right? She doesn't have much to do in a sense, but I mean this woman, this Juliet, is very like a princess like. Princess. Like a princess. A princess, okay? Like a princess. So they're very weak. I can't do this. I can't do that because the servants are doing all of this for me. Okay, so this is what usually people might say as princesses, you know, in modern terms, or baby girls. Okay, so now the first type is actually more of a princess, the second type is more baby girl. Does it make sense? And men loves this. Men love these two types. Why? Because when men, you know, the reason that most men are attracted to these two types, is because they feel like kings. They feel like I'm so strong, I can rescue the princess. I can, you know, be the sugar daddy to the baby girl. I can just, you know, I can just help her and I feel good because I feel masculine. I feel like a man. Now, that's okay. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying this is good or bad. It's just that be aware of why you are attracted to such toxic archetypes. Because if you are attracted to toxic archetypes, it means that there is a toxicity in you that resonates with that toxic archetypes. Okay. It's always a matching system. If only you are, if only you have such a toxic pattern within yourself, only then you would attract to a toxic pattern like that. The princess or the baby girl. Okay, like why would you be attracted to that? Usually, why men would be attracted to such women is exactly what I already mentioned. It's because of certain women in your early childhood, maybe, or like your teenage years or your household upbringing. There are certain women like this. Or you have been taught that men should protect all women, or weak women or people in need, right? But there are also certain men or people just in general. It doesn't even have to be men. It could be also women who would be in the archetype of white knight, and also the, basically, you know, knights in shining armor. Yes, because I have been one. Yes, that's why I'm speaking from experience. No, you know what? Now, we've talked about the emotional manipulation, you know, and also the two types of it, violence and self-victimization, right? And also type three, which would be the one that's non-dual. And then we've already talked about how damsel in distress is formed. Two types, right? One would be the princess, second one would be baby girl. So you know, this part, this last part, I just want to point out that why would I speak on this? Wait, from where do I speak on this? Because first of all, I have been the white knight, and second of all, I have been the damsel in distress. Okay? So okay, now I've experienced both sides, and I want to tell you that no, these are not healthy. Only if you see my role here, one of my duties is to experience so many different kind of archetypes and just to understand what is playing out and how people feel and how could people even get into such mind mentalities. Now, the white knight thing and also the damsel in distress archetypes. Now both are archetypes, right? These are simply mindsets, mentalities. They are not forever. They're not forever. They are, they only exist when we have certain toxic patterns that we have not been able to heal yet. Okay, so once the toxic patterns related to such archetypes, these two archetypes, are healed, you would not be operating in the white knight nor the damsel in distress anymore. Okay? Basically, you center yourself. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to suggest. If you are white knight, now I'm speaking from personal experience. For me, I would be the white knight when I see people in need of help and they seem to be so, you know, helpless, and they it's so like so sad, you know, because I don't want to see people sad in a sense, but it's only when I realize that oh, they actually deserve that. Now I'm not being cold-hearted. It's the reason is they I'm talking about them so in distress now because I'm like in the role of white knight, right? I later realized that, oh, well, okay, so these people, they love taking shortcuts. They love taking shortcuts. They love taking shortcuts. And that's how they get into this, such a state today. That's why they're in distress. Because they're not playing their game right for themselves. They actually just want to rely on other people. So what does it mean? That's parasitic. That's parasitic. You know, in ecology, there are three types of symbiotic relationships. Okay, now we're talking about biology, but it is because it's symbiotic relationships. It describes how the different kind of species interact with each other, and the relationships are being coined, being termed, or defined in these three ways, in the following three ways. The first one is mutualism. So mutualism is very self-explanatory, right? It's simply that you guys both benefit from such relationship, from such interaction. It's just as how like bees and flowers, the bees take the pollens from the flower and spread around, and so the flowers could reproduce, have their offspring, so to speak, right? Because of the bees, and the bees take the pollens to make the honey. All right, so that's mutualism. Now, in the second one is commensalism. Commensalism means one gets benefit and the other one is like, meh, I'm fine. It doesn't really matter to me. Okay, so that would be an example of it would be like, maybe like a frog, on the top of a turtle or on the top of a hippo, and the hippo doesn't even realize that. And the frog is just taking a ride on the back of the hippo as the hippo is like as the hippo swims across the river. Does it make sense? Okay, so there's like the there's no harm there, but the frog gets benefit from taking a ride on the back of the hippo. All right, just another example. Now for the third one is called, you name it, parasitism. Yes, parasitism. So that's about parasite. What does parasite do? One gets harmed and the other gets benefit, and the one gets benefit is the parasite. Now the symbiotic relationships in ecology can actually we can actually take this as a reference for our own relationships. Yes, it's the same thing because we are also species. Humanity is also animal in a sense, right? So we also type of species. We also have all types of relationships, right? And so we can literally take notes from ecology, seeing into how our relationships are affecting us in our own lives. And so, do your relationships have mutualism, mostly or mostly parasitism, or commensalism? So that's your take. Right? You have to check it out for yourself. And so now, as a white knight myself, when I was okay, like I sometimes I would have to remind myself as well, and I would say, it's sad to see people going through hardships, but then once I realized that, oh, actually, they deserve it because they do need to go through this hardship so to grow into a better version of themselves. And then I would just leave them alone. I would give them certain guidance or certain things that they would need, and just enough for them to understand that I'm not here to give you my whole plate. I'm here to let you know that yes, I do care and love you and support you, but you gotta stand on your own feet. That's it. Gotta set boundaries. If they cry, if they feel so helpless and stuff, let them. Let them, because what women usually would do with their tears is to get you guilt-tripped. Especially for men, okay? Get your guilt trip. And usually what men would do is they either would shut down, leave the room, go out and disappear, or they would stay in the room and try to comfort the women, and then usually they would just give in. So these are two ways, right? Two types. Now the third type, what you can do in a non-dual way when it comes to women who just try to emotionally guilt trip you, using their tears. Usually this is like self-victimization, okay? But some women might do it like the combination of type 1 and type 2. So they would kind of like blame you first, and then they would burst into tears, and then you feel guilt-tripped, and you also feel like you are the bad guy now, right? Because of their tears. So what you could do in this situation is that use your rationality right now, man. Man up and use your rationality. Don't get emotional with them because they are being very emotional. Just be calm. Do not leave the room yet. stay in the room and tell her in her face that, okay, I understand you're going through a hard time and understand that you might not feel comfortable at this moment. But I see it would be the best for us to calm down first before we talk. If she screams at you more, just leave the room. Just leave the room. Your well-being is much more important than hers at this moment. Just leave the room. Yeah. You don't need to spend any more of your time with people who can't even control their own emotions because that is not your responsibility, my dear friends. Be it you are a woman or a man, please do not put your life at stake at such a situation and then you're just like, looking back, you would be like, oh, why would I even stay in that situation, right? Okay, so be calm, be rational, and state whatever necessary needs to be stated in that particular time. Do not react. Do not react. Do not react. Because what women sometimes want to do, or just, not, I shouldn't even label women. I would say emotionally aggressive people do. What they will do usually is just to want to trigger your emotion. They want an emotional reaction from you. They don't want an emotional response from you. They want an emotional reaction from you. It means that they want you to become in their state of mind. That you also feel triggered, that you also feel angered, that you also want to fight with her. And that's exactly what she wants or they want. Okay, like not, it doesn't have to be just women. So, because why? Because once you get angry or once you get triggered, this means that you're already emotionally entangled and attached to her. So the more such fight, such emotional attachment, emotional entanglement that you have with such a person, the more that you feel like you are more unable to get out of this situation. Okay, so the way here is to not react. Do not react. State rationally and just leave the situation. Because that person is responsible for whatever he or she does. Now, this is like the damsel in distress, right? This is for taking care of the emotional interaction when it comes to damsel in distress. They can cry as they are. If a woman cries, give her a moment. You know, I mean, you can stay with her. I don't know because sometimes men, you really have this kind of protective instinct. You really can't leave her alone, I think. It would feel like you are such a horrible person, such a horrible man if you leave a woman who is crying, right? Yeah, I do understand. But if it happens over and over again, give it like 5 times. Please, you're done. Like, you're done with it. Just don't fall into this kind of shit anymore. I'm a woman and I'm saying this. Don't fall into this shit. Don't fall into this shit. Yeah. So, I'm such a man. I'm like a man, I'm like white knight. Yeah, don't do this. Like, now, speaking from the perspective of damsel in distress, like if when I was in the damsel in distress, I wouldn't say I'm like a severe one, but I have tasted it, being kind of like a damsel in distress. Now, I would have to say that sometimes people really do need help. I needed help for, yes, for something, I really needed help. And I was actually quite helpless. I was helpless. I felt so helpless, and it was kind of a complicated situation. But all in all, I just want to say, yes, I fixed it. That's it. I just want to tell you that. Like, it's 2025. Women, go fix your shits. I fixed mine. Go, queens. Literally, like, I fixed mine. Did any man help me? No. Did I try to ask for help? Yes. but from friends, you know, from people around me, and reasonably. I felt the energy of being in damsel in distress, but I chose not to be damsel. It's a choice. It's a choice. That's what I want to say. It's a choice that I choose to grow. I choose to outgrow myself, my old versions. It's a choice. It's always a choice. It's so much easier to find a man to lean on, to, you know, to just help me, please. I really need help. Can you please help me? So much easier. It's very easy, but it doesn't mean that it does not mean that we can't ask for help from people. No. But before we ask for help, please consider helping oneself first. Because that is the exact lesson that damsels in distress have to learn. All the damsels. You have to learn to stand on your own feet and help yourself and fix your goddamn problems. It doesn't mean that you can't ask men for help. No, you can. But do not manipulate men. Don't try to control them emotionally just because you don't want to work, just because you want to be lazy. When I say lazy, it doesn't mean that you don't want to, you know, you don't want to have a job. I don't mean this lazy. I mean you are lazy about taking good care of yourself, your own well-being, your own growth. That's what I mean by lazy. I don't mean the kind of lazy that you just want to chill and snack and Netflix. I don't mean this kind of lazy. That's life. That's life. That's like literally like what we need sometimes for entertainment. Okay, I don't mean this kind of lazy. The kind of lazy that I'm trying to say is you're not taking responsibilities for your own growth. You're not taking responsibilities for your own problems that you actually conjured up yourself. Personal development. End of story. So that's what I want to say to all the men and women, if you ever come across this video. I just want to let you know that if you are not attracted to any toxic patterns, it's because you do not have the toxic patterns in yourself. And if you are actually attracted to any kind of toxic patterns, look within, because yeah, very likely you do have a toxic pattern that is matching up with that one. Okay, so thank you so much for listening. I just have to do this video, and I was thinking to myself, like, should I actually say it? But yeah, I think I made the right decision. Hope you enjoy it, and I will see you in the next one. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.